Good morning. This is a precept Bible study from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And today we are starting a new study from the book of Hebrews. And we just completed studying the book of Joshua. And now we're going back to the New Testament and to the book of Hebrews. So, this is more or less an overview or an introductory as we start this study today. The book of Hebrews has 13 chapters, and the study is divided into three different studies, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 2, and Hebrews 3. So, today, we're starting with Hebrews 3. And as we always start our studies, we want to start in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for caring for us and allowing us, Father, to study your word. We want to give you all the praise and all the honor. And Father, may we be obedient as we study your word. I pray for the Holy Spirit that indwells in each of us as believers to lead us, guide us, direct us, and teach us as we study. And Father, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, each one that has joined us today in the study. And I pray that God will bless you from the reading and the studying of His Word. So we're going to look at this particular study. And the first thing that we want to ask is what kind of biblical literature that Hebrews is. So this is a letter or an epistle. That is the type of literature. It is a letter. And so we want to learn who wrote the letter and some things that are included in this study that will help us as we go forward. In our precept study, we have been taught that precept is an introductory Bible study. We study the Bible word upon word, precept upon precept. And studying in this way, we can interpret the Word of God through the reading of His Word. So we want to start the study just in the reading and studying of the Word before we go into commentaries or seeing what someone else has understood. We want to get our own understanding. And in doing this, we have learned that there are three main ways that we learn to study. We learn by observation. Observation teaches us to ask questions. And then we learn by interpretation, by reading and studying. We become knowledgeable in understanding. And then we look at application, because after we have read it, studied it, and interpreted, we want to apply it to our lives that we may be a light in a dark world to reach out to those that do not know Jesus. So we'll go forward now by looking first at who the author is. And we learn even who the author is in the book of Hebrews. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, is a description of the author. And those verses tell us that he was one who heard about salvation from one who heard it from Jesus. In other words, the author didn't hear directly from Jesus, but he heard it from one that did hear it directly from Jesus. He was one, then looking at Hebrews 4, verses 2 and 3, the author was the one who heard the good news and believed it. So then we see that the author knew the Old Testament. He heard the good news. And also it was indicating to us that he was a Jewish believer. In other words, he was a Hebrew. In looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18 through 19, and verses 22 and 25 are personal requests from the author. He wanted to be restored to the people that he wrote. And he also spoke of Timothy being released, and he sent greetings from the saints in Italy. And he hoped to go with Timothy to see the brethren that he wrote to. So these verses tell us then who the author is. It doesn't name him. And so no one not having the name knows exactly who he is. But what I have just read explains who he is. And so most theologists believe that the author was Paul. He mentions Timothy. And we know that he was one that loved Timothy, and Timothy traveled with him as he made his missionary journeys. So that is where we find that most of theologians, or most of those, think that Paul was the author. Okay, now the next question is, why did he write this letter? And we find the answer to that is in Hebrews 13, verse 22. He tells us in that verse, "I urge you, brethren, to bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." So, the purpose then was that he would exhort these that he was writing to. So what does exhortation mean if he is exhorting them? And when you look that up in the Greek, it tells us that exhortation is an encouragement. It's an admonishment to urge one to go forward. So what the writer is saying, that he wants to encourage the readers that they will go forward because they have received salvation and they don't want to stop there. He wants them to know more about what the Lord Jesus wants them to do. So he is saying he wants to exhort them. Now, who are the recipients? Who are the ones that this author, this writer of Hebrews, is referring to? Well, we find the answer in several scriptures here in the book of Hebrews. So if you want to jot these down, I'm going to give you the verse, and then I'm going to tell you what that verse is saying, that recipient, who it is. But you won't have time to write down everything, but write down the verses where you'll find it. First, we find in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 1, the recipients that he is speaking to is the holy brethren, the partakers of a heavenly calling. And then if you look at chapter 3, verse 12, again, he refers to them, the recipients, as brethren. And then if you go to chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, he tells us by explaining or describing who these recipients are. He said they are those that have become dull of hearing. They're the people that he is writing to that have become dull of hearing. And he tells us also in those verses that they ought to have been teachers by that time, but still needed teaching on the elementary things. And then he says that these are the ones that needed milk and not solid food. Remember, they are new brethren in Christ Jesus. And then he calls them infants, not mature yet. So, going now to chapter 6 of Hebrews, you see in verses 9 and 10, he explains in speaking to them as those that are saved, beloved believers who had evidence of salvation, work, and love in ministering to the saints. So he is using adjectives to describe who these recipients are. Now in chapter 10, verse 19, again he calls them brethren. And then in chapter 10, verse 32, he says that they are those that have endured a great conflict of suffering right after being saved. So again, we see that these recipients of the word that the author is writing to are those that have been through great conflict right after they had been saved. And also, he describes them as being made public spectacles. This is how they suffered. They were made spectacles. And also they became sharers with those who were treated and showed sympathy to prisoners. And they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property, because that was some of the things that they had suffered from. And also they knew that they had a better possession and a lasting one, because they had already learned in knowing Jesus that they had a much better possession, even if they had to give their lives. Now going to chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews, verse 4 and verse 5, he said, describes them as those not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. They had been going through trials and troubles, but they had not come yet to the point of shedding blood. And also in chapter 5, he describes them as forgotten, those that had forgotten the exhortation about discipline for sons. So they had already forgotten, even after their salvation, some of the exhortation that they had received about discipline. And then in chapter 13 of Hebrews, we learned in verse 9 and in verse 22 who these recipients were. He says they are those exposed to varied and strange teachings. In other words, there were those among these believers that were trying to teach them different kinds of gospel rather than the true gospel. And then in verse 22, again, he refers them to being the brethren. Now, looking further into the study in our observation, we want to look at the exhortations, because here we see in all of these verses from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 13 that Paul, yes, we believe that Paul's the one that wrote, the author, he is giving them exhortation. That's what it's all about. It's all about encouraging. These people had become believers. They were unbelievers. They were believing pagan gods. And now they had become believers of the true gospel in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, looking now at Hebrews 1, in studying that chapter, which we will be studying as we go forward, all of chapter 1 is exhortation. So, Paul begins this whole book or this letter that he is writing to the Hebrews. In chapter 1, he starts out encouraging them. He says that God spoke in His Son, Jesus, who is better than the angels. Now, in chapter 2, we find in verse 5 through verse 18, he also exhorts or encourages them. He says that Jesus was made lower than the angels for a little while so that he could make propitiation for the sins of man. And then in Hebrews 3 verses 2 through 6, we see that Jesus is faithful and worthy of more glory than Moses. And now, as the writer goes forward into Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, he exhorts them by telling them that Jesus is a priest forever, the source of eternal salvation. And now, as you go into chapter 6, he exhorts these Hebrew believers in chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. He says, convinced of better things concerning the beloved brethren, things accompanying salvation, work, love, serving the saints. And he mentions Abraham, that Abraham waited for the promise. And he also exhorts them by saying that we have hope that Jesus is our Lord because we have hope within the veil. That means within Christ Jesus. And then in Hebrews 7, that entire chapter is a chapter of exhortation or encouragement. He tells us that Jesus is a priest forever, the guarantee of a better covenant. He is able to save forever. And then when you go to Hebrews chapter 8, again, that whole chapter is exhorting or encouraging all the Hebrews believers. He says that we have a high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the true tabernacle, a more excellent ministry, mediator of a better covenant. And then when you go to Hebrews chapter 11, again, we see that the entire chapter 11 is a chapter of exhortation. We're seeing that Christ entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle, having obtained eternal redemption, and his blood will cleanse your conscience. So, looking at all of this, this is an exhortation that was written to the Hebrew believers at this time, back at the time after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But we want to keep in mind, as we're studying and going forward, that this is exhortation for us today, all believers. So let's go on to chapter 10 and verses 1 through 18. You will find that he give exhortation by telling them that Christ Jesus offered his body. And he tells them that we have been sanctified through that offering once for all. And the covenant was that sins would be remembered no more. And then we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that is known as the faith chapter, because that entire chapter is going to give encouragement and it's going to give an exhortation to these Hebrews that he writes to and to all of us as believers. He tells them that you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons, discipline of the Lord. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So he is saying in that chapter, he's saying in Hebrews 11, I need to back up one here, Hebrews 11, that they have faith and they have hope. And so they're saying to them in the Old Testament, men of old gained approval by faith. That's how those in the Old Testament became believers. It was by faith. And then in Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 11, he tells them, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons, discipline of the Lord. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So he is saying to them that we being the children or the sons of God, then we have to be disciplined when we're disobedient. And we know then that by this discipline that we are truly sons of the Lord, that he loves us because he disciplines those that he loves. Now, in chapter 13, the final chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 20 through 21, and verses 23 through 25, he exhorts all of these Hebrew believers and us today by saying that God, the God of peace, equipped you in every good thing to do His will. So, these exhortations, remember, are encouragement. So we're going to, in our study, we're going to get the message that is written by the hand of God. It was given to these great men that penned it down, that we might be encouraged, that we may grow, in other words, to go forward in our salvation. So let's look now further. I want to ask you some questions about the study of Hebrews. In your study book that you had for lesson one, you were to read the entire book of Hebrews, chapter 1 through chapter 11. And this was called an overview. This was getting the big picture. When you get an overview of something, you're just looking at the entire picture. So, who is Hebrews about? And why was it written? Why did the author write it? So, we know from what we have studied earlier that the whole book of Hebrews is about the Lord Jesus. Because he starts out saying that he is better than. And then he also goes forward and he says that Jesus, our high priest. And then he tells us that Jesus brought a better covenant. And then the writer goes on to say that Jesus' blood cleansed our conscience. Jesus brought eternal salvation. So, why then were these written? These things. He tells us that those things were written a long time ago to a group of Jewish believers who, of course, being Jewish, they were Hebrews, who had not matured as they should have. What he is saying then, he's writing in this, he's writing to them, these Hebrew Jewish believers that haven't matured in their salvation. And they have suffered the loss of some things, and they have taken care of those that were in prison, but they had not matured to where they should have been, and they had need of endurance. So, therefore, this is a letter for the church, for believers, and this is a letter which can strengthen and offer hope to believers. And then we find it's a book which can lead to spiritual maturity. So this gives us the highlights or the overview of what we're going to be studying as we go forward in our study of the book of Hebrews. And we know that this letter, as we read and study it, we want to be in prayer throughout our study that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us as believers will enlighten us, that He will give us an understanding, that He will give us the knowledge, not only the knowledge, but the grace to be able to understand, that He will speak to us directly, that we will know more about our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's what it's all about, to know Him more, and in knowing Him more, that we may live out our lives to be a light for Him, that all of those in this dark world that we're living in today, will know about Jesus and will come to know and accept him as our Lord and Savior. You know, I think it's not a better time. There's never no better time to read and study God's Word. But we know that in the time that we're living in this generation, we can look back and we can see how the Old Testament has been fulfilled, how that Jesus, as it was proclaimed in the Old Testament, that God was going to send a Redeemer. It was proclaimed by the prophets. And we saw that fulfilled in the Word as we come into the New Testament. And we saw how that Jesus was born and how he grew to be a man. He was God in the flesh, and how that he proclaimed the Word, and how that he spoke to the people, and how that he did everything that he did to please the Father all the way to the cross, that he pleased the Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he had prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was asking if it was possible that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. But then he went on to say, not my will, but thy will be done. So now we have the full story, how we know that Jesus died for us. That he was in the tomb 3 days, and we know from the Word that God raised his only begotten Son, and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. And he also tells us in the Word that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus, in his resurrection, that they may have eternal life. So we're living in a day today that we're seeing more and more that has been written fulfilled. And even in the book of Matthew, in the 24th chapter, the disciples, even when they walked with Christ Jesus, they asked the question, when will the end come? So whenever Jesus told them, if you read all of that chapter, you can see that we're in a generation that everything has been fulfilled up until his coming. So how precious is the encouragement that we're going to receive in our study in the book of Hebrews. So let us all be much in prayer as we study, because we do need that encouragement. We're beginning to see some of these birth pains that Jesus spoke about in the 24th chapter of Matthew. We're beginning to see those birth pains in our generation. And he is coming soon to gather his church, to all believers, Christ's bride, in the rapture, to be with him eternally. And then we know the tribulation will come. And during that time, there'll be a much sorrow, much suffering, much pain for those unbelievers. But we also know that God loves his creation, that he's going to provide, even in the tribulation, an opportunity. He's going to bring forth these great prophets, 144,000, that's going to preach the Word, and then the two prophets that will preach. And it will be a time that those that have got left behind that were not raptured will have a chance to repent. But they're going to have to go through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. But we as believers, he tells us in Romans 1 that we won't receive any of that wrath because we're going to be caught up with him. But let us be in prayer now as we close out this first part of the study, and continue to pray that God will give us that encouragement that we may live it out in our lives, to reach out, to be a testimony, to be a witness, to be ambassadors for Jesus. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how can we praise you and thank you enough for your written word? Because your word is you, because you teach us in your word that the word was with God and the word was God. And we know, Father, that your word is truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that there's no other way that we can come to Jesus, to God, except through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I just pray as we study this great, wonderful book that you have written down for us, that those that are listening, those that are believers, that it will open our eyes and our hearts and give us encouragement to know you more and to know that we have great hope in you. And any that are listening that are not believers, Father, speak to their heart that they may come to be great believers, to be great witnesses for you. And I ask that you help me, Father, just to be your tool, your instrument, that you may be glorified, Father. And use me to glorify your name. And I ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.